How do you do? Have you ever met someone with an air of superiority? The man in this story was like that, not the supercilious kind that talks down to others. His was the hidden kind of superiority, a feeling that deep inside he was better than most. Then he met someone who outshined everyone, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news to a fallen world, this is Unshackled, true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. People without homes, sleeping here and there, eating what they can, sometimes follow a well-worn path to Pacific Garden Mission, where each one receives a sincere welcome, a bunk for the night, nourishing meals. Resident guests even get medical and dental treatment in the Mission Clinic, all without charge, thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts. Material help doesn't change their lives, however, so Mission pastors and counselors show them the path of life, and those who choose to follow that way go out and tell others. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3189 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Jim, what's this about you getting in a fight with the principal's son?
He started it, Dad.
What happened?
Well, he sits behind me in class, and he stuck me in the backside with a compass point.
Why would he do that?
Well, to get the attention of two pretty girls.
Maybe it was an accident.
Sure. I told him to stop, and he did it again. So I turned around and punched him in the mouth.
Violence doesn't solve anything, son.
What would you have done, Dad?
Move to another chair. Tell the teacher.
The teacher was not in the room. Just as we squared off, she walked in, so we both sat down and agreed to meet in the park at noon.
Escalating things.
Settling a score. We beat each other up pretty good. And after school, we went at it again.
Well, you can expect to be called into the principal's office on Monday. Senseless, if you ask me.
The man in our story was only 15 at this time of his life. Other fights would come, some to the death. This is the true testimony of James Wilson, right now on Unshackled.
My parents had six sons, of whom I was second oldest. My brother was 2 years older than I. Dad worked in Omaha at a meat packing plant. Mom had been a teacher before marriage, but she became a housewife, caring for her family. When I was 2 years old, I contracted scarlet fever, and they took me to the hospital where I was put in the quarantine ward.
Leonard, they won't let us in to see Jimmy.
Why not?
Well, now he has diphtheria and smallpox.
In addition to scarlet fever?
Oh, yes, poor little guy.
That's a fine thing. You take your son to the hospital for one illness, and he catches two more bad diseases.
Well, he's so vulnerable. He needs us, and we can't even visit. How will he survive?
How will any of us survive with all the banks failing? Poor little guy is right.
The Great Depression hit about the same time as my illness. I survived, but didn't learn to talk until I was 3 1/2. Consequently, I was not ready for kindergarten. I was held back in first grade while my older brother skipped half a grade in third. Then came calamity, when my dad had a terrible accident while driving home.
Oh, Leonard. They told me both your legs are broken. And your jaw. But at least you're alive. I wish you could tell me what happened. Was it foggy? I thought as much. They said you hit a brick wall at the end of a dead-end street. Oh, how awful. Leonard, we're going to get through this. I'm so glad it wasn't worse.
Life got worse, though. My dad, who had never needed to see a dentist, lost all his teeth in the crash. He also lost his job and had to become a watchman on the WPA projects. Worse came. We rented an acre of land in North Omaha and planted a big garden in the spring of 1936. That summer, a dark cloud of grasshoppers invaded, destroying everything in the garden.
I was counting on the garden to help feed the family.
There's nothing left.
Except the grasshoppers. They're so thick, the boys scoop them into mason jars and feed them to the chickens, 100 at a time.
Well, I'm glad the grasshoppers are good for something.
You know, ever since the hailstorm blew out all the windows, the pesky things are coming in the house.
I don't know, maybe we should move to Seattle. My sister says they have work there.
We stayed in Seattle for 6 months and went to church with my aunt and uncle. My heart was very open to God because of the hymns and Sunday school lessons, but no one explained how I could know God. When we moved back to Nebraska, I wanted to keep going to Sunday school, so I walked. I was nearly 10, but no one in the family went with me. After we moved 5 miles out of town, I rode my bike to church for a while. In third grade, I was held back again for half a year, while my brothers skipped another half grade, putting us 4 years apart in school.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, but you'll catch up.
Yeah.
Listen, the important thing is to do your best. You boys are not like other boys. We don't allow you to use profanity, and we don't let you smoke. You can smoke when you want when you're 18, but not before. You'll never see me drink alcohol either, because when I was 15, I signed an abstinence pledge that I would never drink alcohol, and I've kept that pledge. So you keep doing your best and you'll succeed.
My parents emphasized self-discipline so much, we became self-righteous. I decided to be good without God and quit going to church. The school board opened a one-room country school for 3 Wilson boys and 1 little girl when I was in 5th grade. They hired an 18-year-old teacher who had 1 year of training beyond high school. She offered to help me accelerate.
Well, that's a lot of books.
Yeah, the teacher's gonna help me catch up in school.
Well, that's wonderful, son.
She asked me why my brother was only 2 years older than me.
Then I.
But 4 years ahead in school, and I told her. So she said there's nobody between me and the 8th grade. She'll give me lessons as fast as I can take them.
Well, with only 4 students in the whole school, she has time for that. Remember, Jim, you can do anything you put your mind to.
That teacher taught me 2 years in every subject and passed me to the 6th grade. During those years, a classmate loaned me a children's book of Bible stories that I read. I was still hungry for God. We moved again, back to Omaha, where I thought I was better than other kids because I didn't smoke, drink, or use profanity. That's when I got into fights because of my self-righteousness. In the middle of my 9th grade, life jolted off course.
Did you hear the news?
What?
It's on the radio. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, the naval base in Hawaii.
Was anyone killed?
Yes, thousands.
This means war.
They attacked without warning on Sunday morning when everyone was sleeping. Nobody saw it coming. They sank a lot of our ships and killed a lot of our sailors.
Those poor young men.
I'm gonna go listen to the radio.
I'm gonna join the Navy as soon as I'm 17.
Me too.
We're gonna get 'em.
My brother joined the Navy while I continued in school. At 15, I worked after class, mowing the right-of-way for the railroad. In the spring of my 10th grade, my father had a heart attack. He couldn't work, nor could mother because she was expecting and had to take care of Dad and my younger brothers. So my income supported the family. At 16, I took a job at the Union Stockyards in Omaha. I worked 8 hours after school, from 3:30 to 11:30 at night, driving animals from railroad cars, shoveling manure, hosing the hog yards, and stacking hay. I worked with other boys my age, and one night, one of them grabbed my cap and threw it 2 stories down into the cattle alley. As the other boys laughed, I grabbed his cap and threw it to the same place. That wasn't so funny to him. He wanted to fight, so we squared off. I threw the first punch and got in 2 or 3 more hits before he could react. After that, they stopped picking on me.
Jim, I'm glad you clean up at work. I can smell the stockyard even so.
You're still up, Mom?
Yes, I wanted to make sure you got home okay. There's pie on the kitchen table.
I'll have some in the morning.
How was work?
You don't want to know.
I can't imagine doing what you do, crawling into a railroad car to look for dead animals.
Some of them aren't dead. They've just been trampled by other animals, and they don't appreciate my trying to drag them out.
That sounds dangerous.
Oh, it is. Hard, too. Those bulls are heavy, but I get extra money for it. The sheep are on double-deck railroad cars, so I have to crawl in on my hands and knees. When the sheep have been dead a couple of days, it's really bad. I lose my lunch.
We appreciate all that you go through, Jim. You're the main support of the family right now. I don't know what we'd do without you.
What did you hear from Lenny?
Oh, he sent you a letter.
I'm not getting my homework done for school, Mom, but I'll pass. I know more than most of the other kids. And as soon as I graduate, I'll join the Navy and make better money. In my senior year, my older brother gave me a book that described how the Navy selected 100 enlisted men from the fleet to attend the U.S. Naval Academy. I made up my mind to do that. In 1944, my brother's ship was sunk by a torpedo, but he survived. I joined the Navy on VE Day in May 1945. I was 17 and graduated fairly high in my class with 2 scholarships to state colleges. But I was already in the Navy by then. Japan surrendered a month before I started boot camp, where I saw a notice for the next step in my career.
It's a letter from Jim.
Oh, what's he say?
Well, he's been accepted for the Naval Academy Prep School.
Good for him. He must have passed that interview he had with the Board of Officers.
Yes, he goes to Camp Perry in January.
He was off to a rough start the first 3 years of his life, but he's going full steam now.
I was not a happy camper at Camp Perry. I didn't have many friends, which I ascribed to my superiority. Moral in one sense, I was insubordinate in others. I jumped chow lines and argued disrespectfully with commissioned officers. But my biggest conflict came with another seaman.
We'll hear about James' conflict in a moment. Few things encourage us as much as hearing someone say, "I'll pray for you." Many of our letters and email contain messages like that from listeners who pray for this ministry to the homeless and to the world. Unshackled has been on the air continuously since 1950, the longest-running radio drama in history, exalting the Lord and His work in people's lives. We know that prayer sustains us moment by moment each day. And that's why, long ago, we established a prayer band of spiritual warriors who lift up our needs and those of our listeners to the throne of grace. God hears and answers prayer, and many listeners write, asking prayer for some need. If you would like to be part of our prayer team, let us know how often you would like to receive petitions, once a week or twice a month, and we'll include you. Or if you have some need that you would like us to pray for, write and tell us. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
Shortly after I arrived at Camp Perry, I received a letter addressed to me from someone in California. I didn't know the person, but I read the letter that contained Bible quotations, which embarrassed me. I thought I was moral, yet I never quoted scripture. I returned the letter to the sender, apologizing for having opened it by mistake. A few days later, a sailor came into the barracks and asked for Jim Wilson. I'm Jim Wilson.
I'm Jim Wilson, too. Seaman First Class, and I have some of your mail.
We have the same name and rank?
Apparently.
Amazing. Oh, I got a letter that must have been intended for you, and I sent it back.
No harm done.
So you just arrived here, too?
Yes. We're way behind the guys who started here in September.
Well, I intend to catch up and win an appointment to the academy.
Whatever the Lord wills. Here's your mail, Jim.
Although we became friends, I had a real problem with him. I compared myself with everyone I met and always thought I was better than everyone, even my father and brother, whom I loved. This other Jim Wilson had me beat. He lived morally without effort. He had many friends, and he was a brain, an athlete from a wealthy and sophisticated family. One night, I decided to show off by naming the stars. That constellation up there is Orion. See his belt? That line of stars?
Yes, the bright and morning star. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
What writer said that?
King David in the Psalms. Jim, are you going to heaven?
I don't know. I'll wait and find out.
That will be too late. You must have an opinion, one way or the other.
I think I'll go to heaven.
Why do you think so?
I don't drink or smoke or even use profanity. I've always worked hard to help my family, and I want to serve my country in the Navy. I've never stolen anything or killed anyone, and I've lived a good life. And if I don't make it, heaven will be thinly populated. What's so funny? You asked a serious question, and I gave you a serious answer.
I didn't mean to offend you.
If you're so smart, tell me this. Do you know if you're going to heaven?
Yes. I know for sure that I'm going to heaven.
How do you know?
The Bible says if you call on the Lord in faith to save you, he will. I know the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life to pay for my sins. Heaven is a gift, Jim. People who think they'll go to heaven because of their good works won't go, because your works aren't good enough.
You think I was boasting?
Weren't you?
You asked me why I thought I was going to heaven, and I told you.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Are you telling me that some bank robber could go to heaven, but I won't?
If he has turned from his sin and put his faith in Christ, in the finished work of the cross, then he will go to heaven.
No, that isn't right.
Let God be true, but every man a liar. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Bad guys are sinners, not me.
The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
I'm telling you, I've never done anything bad.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Wait, where did you get all this information?
From reading the New Testament. It's all there. How Jesus set aside his divinity and came to earth to save us. Philippians chapter 2 describes how he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
I know that Jesus died on a cross. I went to church when I was growing up.
He died for our sins, Jim. Then he rose from the dead on the third day, triumphing over sin and death. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by the law of faith. A man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
I don't agree.
There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
I didn't agree with him, but I was intrigued enough to get a New Testament and start reading, though it didn't make sense to me. In the spring, 1,200 of us took the entrance exam for the Naval Academy. 330 of us passed. I barely passed and entered the Naval Academy in June of 46.
So how's Jim doing?
Okay, he says. It's like boot camp, but with a full academic schedule.
He'll do all right.
Well, he's writing to ask about the church we went to in Seattle.
Why in the world does he want to know about that?
Chapel attendance is mandatory, he says. Many different denominations, but they have to march to the service, and he wants to know which one to attend.
Jim's always been interested in religious things.
Yeah. Remember how he walked to Sunday school alone when he was 10?
And when we moved to the country, he biked back to church for a few months by himself.
Well, to each his own.
I did not try to break the rules at the academy, but I did talk back to upperclassmen, resulting in many demerits. I pushed the limit many times, but I continued to read the New Testament. Mom reminded me of the denominational church we had attended in Seattle, where I was most affected by hymns and Sunday school. And that's the chapel service I attended at the academy.
Hey, Wilson, I didn't know you were a believer, but I see you have a New Testament.
Yeah, I read it when I have time, which isn't much.
Why don't you come to our Bible study?
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
We meet in the janitor's supply room every morning.
7 days a week?
Yes. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
Well, listen to you. All right, I'll give it a try.
Great. We meet at 0545.
30 minutes before Reveille? I can't wake up that early.
Don't worry, I'll make sure you wake up.
I began meeting with the small group of midshipmen and tried to fake being a Christian. They were not fooled.
So, what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Does that conflict with being a warrior?
Well,
what about the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill"?
Going to war with an enemy is different.
But isn't our real enemy Satan?
A pastor told me a few years ago that Christians shouldn't be in the military. I quoted him the stanza from the Battle Hymn of the Republic, "Christ died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free."
What did he say?
"Die if you want to, but don't kill to make men free." That convinced me that he was right.
Oh, then why did you come to the academy, Jim?
My patriotism was stronger than my religion.
I can believe that. Well, time is up. Let's pray and dismiss.
Though I frequently argued with them, I met some great guys in that Bible study and stayed with it, day after day through my plebe year. I was in the first boat in the plebe crew, so while the rest of the brigade of midshipmen went to Europe on summer cruise, I stayed behind for the national crew races at the Poughkeepsie Regatta. I caught up with the summer cruise fleet in Portsmouth, England. When summer ended, I returned to the academy for my youngster year and the pre-Reveille Bible study.
How was your summer cruise, Jim?
Okay. I was on the Wisconsin.
Did you learn anything significant?
Well, one of my classmates fixed me up with a blind date, two girls from Northern Ireland. His idea was to take them to a park and ply them with wine. I don't drink, but I went along with it. The girls got drunk and nasty.
What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?
You can say that again. I had nothing in common with those girls.
Except the sin nature.
Did you have a Bible study at sea?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm beginning to realize that most people are definitely sinners.
Most people?
Well, all right, everybody.
Then you agree with God.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
I keep trying, though. It was football season, and the Naval Academy had a very small stadium, so home games with big opponents were held in Baltimore. Two of my classmates fixed me and themselves up with blind dates that we were to meet on the 30-yard line. During the game, I realized that I would be morally in trouble if I went on this date, so I didn't show up. Alone in Baltimore on a Saturday night, I bought a newspaper, found an ad for a Saturday night church service, and took a cab to the address. It was a youth meeting. So I went to the balcony and saw three midshipmen near the front. I joined them.
Jim, I didn't know you were coming tonight.
I didn't either.
We've been asked to give our testimony. Would you like to join us on stage?
No thanks. I have nothing to say. My heart was convicted as I listened to their testimonies, knowing that they lived the way they talked. Then the main speaker, a Filipino, spoke the first few verses in Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Finally, I was convinced that I was a lost sinner who needed Christ. After the meeting, one of my Bible study mates took me to another room and guided me with the scripture to God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son.
Do you confess that you are a sinner, Jim?
Absolutely. I know that I've sinned against the Lord, and I cannot save myself.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Please save me, Lord. I repent of my sins. Come into my life and make me yours.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Next week, we'll hear what that verse meant for Jim Wilson at the United States Naval Academy and also during the Korean War that lay ahead. Don't miss the conclusion of this remarkable story. Until then, listening friend, we hope that you are not trusting in your own moral goodness to get to heaven. God says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Trust in the Lord and his sacrifice for your sins. If you need help in making this life-transforming decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Don't let this program go off the air where you live. Tell the manager of this radio station how much you look forward to hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3189, heard in the true story of James Wilson, Part 1, where Tim Gregory, Lisa Keefe, Tom Geitch, Michael Ward, and Evan Armacost. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.